And that was probably the worst, like, razzing I got. Like, just the entire barn was going crazy and just directed at me. And it's just, I just smile and laugh and I just wave at them, like, yep, you're calling me right now. That's awesome. So,
welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week, we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon, and this is the show 100% dedicated to the lacrosse goalie. And on this show, I'd like to interview the best goalies in our sport and hear their stories, find out what makes them so great. What are these stories that they can tell us, mindsets that they have, training that they do, anything that we can steal from them to apply to our own lacrosse goalie game. And I know I learn a bunch of things from each episode that I implement into my coaching. My guest on the show this week is actually not a field lacrosse goalie. It's a box lacrosse goalie, Deacon Knott for the Philadelphia Wings. Deacon joins the show to talk about his box lacrosse goalie game and really a lot of the mindsets and mental game stuff that he takes into his game that's going to be 100% applicable to field lacrosse goalies. We don't wear as many pads, but yet the mental game just as important. So awesome, awesome interview. Awesome young man, Deacon Knott with the Philadelphia Wings. Please enjoy my conversation with him.
Before we begin this episode, I want to read a word from our sponsor, and that is my own Lax Goalie Rat Academy. If you're looking to level up your youth's lacrosse goalie game with the best coaches in this sport, the best training tools, and the best goalie community, that's what the Lax Goalie Rat Academy is all about. It's virtual training tools that's going to give your young goalie the confidence to be great so they can go out there, play well, and make you that proud goalie mom or proud goalie dad. There's over 130 hours of content on different areas like drills, techniques, the mental game, lacrosse IQ, offense, defense, how to play one-on-one defense. There are stringing tutorials, and there's even sessions on how to coach goalies along with physical training. Everything you need to level up your youth lacrosse goalie game from the best coaches out there, PLL, Athletes Unlimited coaches, myself, Coach Damon Wilson, put a ton of effort into this academy. I think it's an amazing training resource. You can join for just 40 bucks a month, Netflix model. So you come in, 40 bucks for your first month, stay as long as you want, cancel anytime. We also do live coaching sessions, or I should say I do live coaching sessions about once a month, so you can join those, ask me questions, or really just connect with any number of lacrosse goalie moms, dads, or youth goalies out there. To join, go to laxgoalierat.com/camp, C-A-M-P, laxgoalierat.com/camp, and you can get started for just 40 bucks for your very first month. laxgoalierat.com/camp. Hope to see you there. Take care.
Pleasure to welcome to the show pro box goalie, Philadelphia Wings, Deacon Knott. Deacon, how are we doing today?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. It's going to be tons of fun. You know, I was saying just before we hit record, probably only the second pure box goalie I've had on the show. My background's obviously with the field game. So we're going to learn. I'm ask you a bunch of questions about the box game. But yep, I would love to hear when you first jumped into goal. You remember that story?
Yeah. So I started out as a hockey goalie whenever I was just really young. And a few people from the Peterborough here in Ontario organization, they kind of approached me and asked if I ever want to try lacrosse. And they kind of just threw me a net, and I ended up falling in love with it. I believe I was 9 years old.
I love it. So in Ontario, you get your snowshoes and you get your lacrosse stick. Is that kind of how it works up there? Or
yep. Yeah. Pretty much. That's kind of how it goes.
I like it. So you had that ice hockey goalie background, which to me, like when I think about it, very similar to the box goalie position, right?
Yeah, yeah, it is. Okay. Like I played decently high level in hockey as well, so I was kind of around there, and you got to get both, best of both worlds.
Yeah, yeah. So was it something, would you say, I guess they put you in there from that young age, you're like, you're the ice hockey goalie, let's try him out as the box goalie. Did you like it right away? I mean, you obviously stuck with it, so I gotta assume.
Yeah.
So
yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Like I started out as a player in hockey, and I always wanted to be a goalie, so it was just kind of like anything that can get thrown at me or shot at me, I loved it. So
yeah, what do you think it is about the goalie position that you like so much?
It's kind of just like there's only one of you out there on each team, so it's a pretty exciting feeling because you get to play all games. So
yeah, yeah, that feeling of making a save, right? I mean, like it's like you've got the spotlight on you. It's like being in the finals of a game show, like everyone's looking at you, and then boom, you get the right answer, and it's just like such a rewarding feeling, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So Evan, who works for me, is also a box goalie, and was telling me that Peterborough is quite the hotbed of box lacrosse. How'd you go about learning, you know, how to be a great box goalie?
So I started in Peterborough. I pretty well finished my entire career in minor and junior in Peterborough. And I mean, it's kind of the hot spot, especially for really good goalies as well. Like we have Matt Vink, like Glennon Kells is in Peterborough, Drew Hutcherson, like a lot of great goalies have come out of Peterborough. So it's kind of like, it's nice to have those role models, especially so close to you.
And are those the guys that you learn from? I imagine, you know, lacrosse is a pretty small knit community, the sport lacrosse.
Yeah.
Then you go box lacrosse. That's like a sub niche within that. Then you go box lacrosse goalie. And now we're talking about like a super small niche. And I imagine like most goalies, from what I've heard, are pretty open to helping other goalies. Are those the guys you learn from?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's like, it's great having, those guys. And I'm definitely missing a lot of names as well, but everyone just being on the floor and learning from each other and things like that, especially for me, being so young and growing up watching these guys, it's kind of like you get that competitiveness as well. And it's pretty cool being able to watch it so close.
Yeah. And what kind of things would you say you're learning? Is it like just the way they stand? Is it the way like, oh, like, you know, this guy threw amazing fake and I saw what he did, like maybe he lifted his shoulder, but then went for it. You know, is it things like that? Or what would you say you learn from them?
Yeah, for sure. It's style, it's positioning, it's things that they do on certain shots that you can compare to or even just learn from, like just watching.
Yeah.
But it's things that like you don't even think about. It's just, okay, they make a shoulder save off this kind of step. They got across the crease this way. Yeah. So it's a lot just kind of like give and take for each other. But, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just little things like, okay, he's standing this way, he's playing this way. Like it's just his style, the way he's standing, the way he's holding his stick, like, just stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine, I mean, that's how I learned the field lacrosse goalie position mostly, is just kind of watching the older guy on my team and like, oh, you know, there's a shot from 8 yards, step down. I kind of see how he approached it and what he did. Right. And then you do that. And so you just kind of replicate what you see.
Yeah, for sure. And like that goes with like being in Philly and being around Zach Higgins. I trained with him a little bit before COVID, and just I really found a big change in my style of playing and my stance and just like how I see the ball and read it just from Higgy, just the way he stands. And I kind of incorporated that stuff into how I played, especially this year in junior A. And it helped a lot.
Interesting. What did you change? Because we talk about in the field game, like you could change the width of your base. Like some goalies go super wide, right? Get that super wide stance. Others go a little bit more narrow. Is that one of the things?
Yeah, that's honestly pretty much most of it. He kind of, it's funny because I used to stand so upright, like straight legs, and just kind of like I was always a very small goalie. So I kind of had to move quite a bit. But just watching Higgy, and especially playing with him this year, just wider base. Like his knees are kind of in, it's easier to go up and down. But just like small little things like that. And especially like, it's not going to be exactly the same, like we're different builds and stuff like that, but it, yeah, like similar things like that.
Interesting. Yeah. You mentioned being a little bit smaller. So there's this trend, like, you know, in NHL goalies is like, they're huge. You look at those guys are yeah. like 6'4", 6'5", 'cause they're so big, yeah. they take up so much of the goal. Is that sort of the trend with box lacrosse goalies as well?
Yeah, it's kind of always an ongoing joke that some teams just find the biggest guy and slap him in net, and hopefully it does the job. But yeah, there's, especially now too in the NLL, a lot of smaller goalies, but there's also a lot of big guys like Wardo for one. He's a big, tall guy. Right. But yeah, I was always small growing up. Like, I think my freshman year of high school, I was 5'1" and, hit a big growth spurt. And, I'm kind of in like the middle range of goalies now, which I'm pretty happy with. It's, not too big, not too small, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. So does that, and I guess that would have to impact how you play, right?
Yeah, for sure. Oh yeah. Like, and it's funny, 'cause there's a lot of people, especially coaches, they kind of say like, 5'11 to 6'1 is kind of like the perfect area, because your shoulders are where they're supposed to be. They're not over the bar, they're not too far under, which is kind of how it goes now.
Yeah, that makes sense. What would be your advice though to those young goalies who like are just starting out and they are 5'1? Because that's, you know, when a lot of youth kids throw on the pads for the first time, like you haven't hit that growth spurt yet. So what do you say to them?
Just learn and adapt. Because like you'll move and you'll find stuff that works, you find stuff that doesn't work, and it's just keep at it, like really keep at it, because you'll grow. And if you don't grow, then you'll adapt and it'll be, you'll find your own way of playing, your own style, and then you'll make it work for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I always have this difficult, some young goalies, because the field goal is 6 foot, right? So it's a lot taller. And so when that goalie is really small, they say, well, like I have trouble with these high shots. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want you to like adjust your stance so that when you grow, you're going to have to like readjust to play normal.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it sounds like, you know, with that smaller goal, stick with it. You're going to grow. Do you have to then maybe challenge the shooter a little bit more, take up a little more of the goal, or not necessarily?
Yeah. Like that's like one thing with adapting as well. Like, once you get better shots on you, like you start getting older, like especially if you're a young kid, shots are getting harder, shots are getting better. And like sometimes you'll get caught whenever you're too far out, and they'll just kind of put it over top of you. So you kind of have to like work with spacing that way. But obviously you want to challenge and take the angle away, especially as a smaller goalie. But and that was myself too. Like I still kind of get caught on it the odd time where like I'm still used to being kind of small. I like the challenge. I like to be big, but then they kind of get in close and put it over top of you. So I'm starting to learn a little bit to sit on my line, but yeah.
I like it. Yeah. I talked with Dobson a lot, Brett Dobson, about the box goalie position. And one of the, like the main differences is like in the field goalie, like when the shot comes, you sort of explode through that shot and you really like, you know, you really explode. And in box, you don't do that. You just kind of like, you know, go for it a little bit with your, go for a little bit with your body, because fakes are so easy and so common that like, if I go all the way through it, then guess what? I've left the goal wide open. Is that accurate? Would you add anything to that?
Oh yeah, that's very accurate. Especially like I played a little bit of field goalie as well in high school, and can kind of say that as well, where you want to explode the ball on field, but if you do that, you're kind of left hanging in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that I wanted to ask you about, so there's two surfaces that you guys play on, right? Like one is just straight concrete, like cement, right?
Yeah.
And the other one's more of like a, I don't even know, like an indoor soccer or like turf, I guess would be the best way to describe it. What do you prefer, and does your game change on either one?
Yeah. So playing through the summer this year in junior A, I got traded from Peterborough to Burlington this year, and both of those arenas were concrete. And most of the junior A arenas were. We did have a few that did have turf in it. But yeah, your style kind of gets mixed up a little bit. And it's, I kind of found that it was kind of nice to play on the concrete because you have a little bit of forgiveness with sliding. You could go down a little bit easier. Just kind of stuff like that. But obviously it is a little bit harder to see the ball in the gray concrete than the green turf. But yeah, like in the NLL, it's full turf and it's great. It's, you can read the ball, especially off the bounces, off the swings, everything like that. But yeah, I would rather play on turf. Just, it's a little bit more forgiving. You're not sliding and getting hurt, and it's kind of nice that way.
Yeah. Love it. It sounds like, you know, you grew up in a hotbed, you know, you had a lot of people to shoot on you.
Yeah.
You know, what would be your advice? Cause when I ask, you know, when I talk with youth goalies, sometimes I get questions about box, and the main thing is like, I don't have anybody to practice with. I don't have any resources. How would you recommend someone, a youth goalie, go about improving their game when they're in that scenario?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like, it's kind of nice, being in that hot spot for sure. But I'm about 45 minutes outside of the hot spot where we're out in the country here. And, it's not too big of a sport out here, compared to in Peterborough. So we'd have this little net and I'd suit up and let my dad shoot on me in the backyard and in the driveway and just kind of take shots and take reps as much as I can, just see the ball, kind of figure out different stances, different styles of play and stuff like that. But just try and find, like, if you have a friend that has a stick or whatever, just try and take reps and take shots, and the more shots, the better.
Yeah. And I, great advice, right? I mean, you just find anybody you can, to shoot on you. I mean, odds are if you're playing lacrosse, you can find a shooter. So yeah. And maybe you have to drive 45 minutes, but well worth it. And I do think those reps is probably the most important thing. I say that in the field game too, is just seeing those reps. And I think field goalies should play box because you see so many reps and you see so many different release points and fakes, and just getting used to that just kind of adds to your, I don't know, your vocabulary of shots that you've seen. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. Especially like if you are a field goalie and a box goalie, in box, you see those uptight shots a lot where you can kind of read those different release points and different angles of shots, especially if they're coming at you full tilt. Where I know in field, it's not nice taking them off the legs from in tight, but box, you can kind of withstand it for a little bit longer.
Yeah. Now, are you as a box goalie, do you ever like get hit in the skin, or like, are you covered head to toe in pads?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You still feel it quite a bit. Like, there's still quite a few spots that, that you can really feel it. Like anything in the hands usually stings quite a bit.
Okay.
Sometimes wrists, like,
You don't have those big, like, bulky warrior fat head gloves?
Oh, yeah.
Those.
Yep. Like, anything in the fingers, like, sometimes I get hit in the toes, the knees hurt. Sometimes you get little stingers inside the legs that you just feel it, especially with the shots that the highest caliber in the NLL. It's, you feel it sometimes.
Yeah. What do you, how do you deal with rebounds? That's kind of an interesting, like, difference between field and box. Is it kind of like ice hockey where I'm just trying to like rebound it to, like the side, so it's not quite right in the middle, or is there something else?
Yeah. Well, and that's the biggest thing. It's so similar to hockey where you want to kind of put it into the corners or kind of smother it as much as you can. But, even just playing, you kind of figure out, hey, the ball will stick if it hits me in the arm. I can kind of smother it in there and stop it. Or like if it's a low five-hole shot and you can kind of smother it that way. Or if it's coming towards your legs, you can kind of angle your leg and push it to the corner. It's just little stuff like that, especially like with the big shoulders as well. You can kind of get it up and sometimes like it's a lot of just reading the ball and reading where it's coming from, how it's coming at you, and just how hard the shot and just kind of stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cause that's another pretty common question I get from the youngsters. It's like, how do I control rebound? So yeah, I guess there's a lot of give in the pads and in the arms.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. There was a clip that went viral. I think it went viral. I don't know. I saw it a bunch of times. And I actually forget who it was. Maybe it was Chris Gray. Like, he kind of throws like a changeup, right? Have you you know what I'm talking about? Where like he doesn't shoot that hard, but he stings a corner and it kind of looks like the goalie's leaning. Did you see this clip or no?
Was it in box?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, yeah.
I wanted to ask you about it because in my mind, he didn't shoot that hard, but I think what was happening is it looked like it was a power play. And I think what was happening is he kind of like faked like it was going to be a pass and got that goalie leaning.
For sure. And it's crazy how much you see that, especially in the NLL with the better shooters and just kind of harder to read releases, that a lot of the guys, it's crazy because they'll try and get you with a twister or get you with like a looking far side, but they really rip it back for like short side, and it gets a lot harder to read. But you kind of see with a lot of guys, they're not putting everything into all their shots. It's a lot of just kind of perfect placement, and that's tough sometimes whenever you're expecting a 100 mile an hour rocket at you.
Yeah. How do you read the fakes? Because those guys can throw some crazy fakes. I've never seen so many like fakes thrown so quickly right on the doorstep. And I'm like, you know, if that's me, I'm biting on all of those fakes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of goes with experience and stuff like that too. Like you kind of know, like if they're not going this way, then they kind of are going to go around you if they do throw that. But it's a lot of kind of what you said with feel, you're exploding the ball, blocks, you're sitting back a little bit. But you're not getting on every fake, and it's more or less just get in the way and try and take up as much net as you can, especially if they're coming right across the doorstep.
Yeah. Yeah. What about one on nothing? So that's like, I mean, that happens in box. It happens in field too, but way, way less common, right? But you could get some breakaways. What do you do on those one on nothings?
Yeah, it's a lot of just mind games too, like with playing against each other and stuff like that. It's I personally just like to be as big as I can, feet on the posts, and just kind of wait them out, and then maybe give them a little short side something, or if it's a righty, then I like to let them push it far side, like just kind of little stuff like that, where with experience you can kind of know your strong suit, and you kind of just play mind games with them. Okay, I'm giving you this, but are you shoot it there? That's kind of the it's an educated guess. Guess, most part.
I'm giving you this, but does he know I'm giving him that? Yeah. And does he know that I know that I know him giving him that?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you use a lot of baiting normally or not so much?
It's kind of funny. With Junior A, I could bait them a little bit, especially if it's like an outside shot. I'm going to give him, I know this guy likes to shoot here. I'm going to give him a little bit where he likes to shoot and just take it away. But NLL, you can't do that because they'll just beat you anyways. It's very, very minimal stuff that you can do with just like your stance, your positioning, stuff like that. But it gets harder and harder to bait, especially whenever you get to the better shooters.
Yeah, I love it. I noticed you used the when I was watching some highlights, you used the wooden stick. Talk to me about that. Is just because it's bigger, or does it have some sort of other significance?
Well, it's actually funny. Last year was, I guess, not this past summer, but the year before was my first real like Junior A year that I can start. I played pretty well every game. And my coaches all played in the NLL, and I'm like, I like the small stick. Like, I like the spoon. Like, it's kind of nice to use. It's nice and light. I can move with it. And they said, no, you've always played with a Woody. It's harder just to go with a Woody. Just use it. So I went back to it, and luckily I know quite a few people that can custom make me my woodies. So I kind of get used to it that way, and then I can fine tune it with sanding it down or whatever. And I string all my sticks too, so it's passing wise. I kind of make it throw like a plastic stick, but it's more or less just it's a lot bigger. It's harder to score on.
A lot bigger, yeah. Who does make those? Where can I get one?
So I have a guy in Six Nations, and his name is Delby Palace. He custom makes all of my sticks.
Love it. Love it. All right. Well, we'll have to hit him up, see if he's taking orders.
Yeah, for sure.
I have like a huge collection of sticks. So I would love to get my hands on one. That'd be awesome.
Yep. Yeah.
And then a lot of box goalies use a super long shaft. Like even if you're using the spoon, the plastic head, the shaft is super long. Is that because when I scoop it up now, I lift it up to throw, like my stick is, the release point is so much taller than all the other guys, or is there something else there?
I don't even know where it kind of started. Like I know a lot of guys use smaller sticks. Like even now, like they like to cut their woodies super short, but it is nice having like the extra length, especially whenever you're kind of stepping out and challenging, you can just kind of click your post and you can feel where you are in the net. But it's also whenever you slide out and you're gonna throw, it's just easy to have that long stick. It's not getting caught up in your shoulders. Like whenever you go and get in your stance, it's kind of a combination of things, but it's a little nicer. Like you kind of find the balance where sometimes it's too long and it gets caught up. Sometimes it's too short and it gets caught up in your shoulders. And it's just, you kind of find that nice balance.
Love it. Love it. You mentioned positioning there, like kind of clicking the post. If there's a young goalie that wants to work on their positioning, are there specific drills you can recommend?
Yeah. Like I always, especially going back to hockey, just similar positionings to that, where it's like you're on your post, you kind of line up with where the blue line or the straining line touches the boards. And then that's another one. And then like center, and then kind of reverse on the other side. Just kind of like working out and just starting on your line and going out to one position, coming back, going out to another position, and just kind of working on footwork. And then it kind of comes second nature to you where, okay, I know I'm here. And it's just like, it's holding on to your post with your glove or clicking it with your stick. It just kind of gets easier and easier, just letting reps.
Yeah. Interesting. As a box goalie, like, you know, if they have the ball and it's like in, you know, side right, and they pass it up top, right? You as a goalie, you're moving on your arc to match up with that shooter top center, right?
Yeah.
What about if they carry that ball, by foot, right? They carry it. Are you like doing little steps to adjust your arc, or is there like a rule of thumb that you have? Like, when do you move, I guess would be the question.
Yeah, for sure. Like I always like to kind of play back on my line, so you're not getting caught way out where it's not like you're giving them up that short side or that far side if they're moving, or if they're even just throwing those quick skip passes. It's nice to kind of feel where you are in your net, and then you can get to say, okay, like I know I'm here, but if you're throwing it, I'm just gonna take one step and I'm taking that away now. So if they're looking like they're gonna challenge and shoot, that's whenever you can kind of step out and take the angle away. But yeah, like just even off swings, I always like, especially like penalty kill situations where the ball's moving so many times and they're not really getting challenged as much as 5-on-5, mm-hmm. where you can kind of just sit back and just say, okay, I'm here. I'm still challenging you. But if you're stepping down, I'm going to take the angle away a little bit more. And it's just like, you always kind of know, you have that small little arc right off your line, which is kind of nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing with the field game, right? As you're deeper in the goal, you know, the movement is a lot easier, right? I don't have to move as much to be in the right position. And then as the shot is imminent, yeah, then maybe I take a step out and kind of cut down that angle.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of field goalies that do, I call it the hop, which I learned from Galloway, but it's kind of like a little like reset of the weight, right? Like a little jump to kind of reset my weight. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yep.
Do you do that as a box goalie or no?
Yeah. Like it's kind of funny. My dad actually, I don't even know what he calls it, but he always laughs at me whenever I do it. But just like, if I see a shooter coming down, and I know he's kind of coming in, I kind of hop into my stance and get ready. But it's like, it's just a little hop I do. And it's more or less just getting ready for the shot. But if it's more of like a reset, then I always just kind of like come back, touch my posts. I know where I am. And then it's kind of like a reset that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. What about the mental side of the game? Obviously, you know, both in box lacrosse and field lacrosse, giving up a goal as a goalie, it's brutal. Do you have sort of a post-goal routine that you go through?
Yeah, it's I wouldn't per se a post-goal routine, but it's more just kind of talking to myself, saying, okay, you could have did this, you could have that, try and do this. And if it's like this huge backdoor to backdoor goal and it's a goal, I'm just like, all right, whatever, it's one goal. Like, right. It's okay. We'll get it back. But yeah, like there's certain things, especially like, I know that you can kind of contest it. Goalies are weird. And we have our own rituals and kind of superstitions, things that we do, especially if we get in the cage. And like I do that every time I leave my crease, I always come back and I'm just like, okay, I'm in my crease, it's game on. Like that's kind of how I go about it. And goals happen, but try and minimize them as much as you can. But post goal stuff, I don't really think about too much.
Okay. What about other sort of mental game lessons or tricks or things you've learned along the way? Anything come to mind?
Yeah. Well, and especially this year in junior, a lot of kind of adversity, on the floor, because especially in playoffs, we played against, St. Catharines first round, and their fans were ruthless. And giving it to me the whole game. And then we ended up beating them out and then going on to round two against Mimico. And that was probably the worst, like, razzing I got. Like, just the entire barn was going crazy and just directed at me. And it's just, I just smile and laugh and I just wave at them like, yep, you're calling me right now. That's awesome. So just kind of like you play mind games with yourself, with them, with kind of everybody, especially players. Like if they're going at you, it's just like, man, we're in a game. I get it. But yeah, it's just so many different things that, like, especially this year, kind of had to find adversity through. And yeah.
I love it. Yeah, that's so key. I mean, like, you just ignore it, right? Like the moment that you then react to those fans, or you react to, you know, someone talking trash, is like, they win. Like, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get a reaction out of you. And if they see that, and it doesn't even matter like what the reaction is, if they see that, like, they won, right? And then they go harder.
Yeah, for sure.
And I heard the Canadians are pretty famous for trash talking too. You heard any particular good lines that are podcast friendly?
Yeah. There was a lot, like, and it was hilarious this year. We played against Orangeville in the finals of our junior A, and they were 27-0, and we ended up beating them game one. And they made this big sign behind me, and it said, "Number 30, you're a pigeon." With and like on my helmet, I have like Beaker the Muppet, and. And they put up Beaker on the sign. I'm like, that's awesome. That's so cool. Like it was pretty cool. But yeah, it's just stuff like, you just gotta laugh about it sometimes.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, you guys ended up winning the championship, am I right?
Yeah. Let's go. We ended up winning the Ontario championship, and then we went out west to Edmonton, and we ended up taking the Minto Cup home in all of Canada.
I love it. Yeah. Evan made some notes for me. He said 2023 Minto Cup champion with the Burlington Blaze, which is like what? All, it's the entire Canadian. Like, there's, talk to me about how it works. There's different leagues, and then the champions of that league play in the Minto Cup.
Yeah. So there's like Ontario. So the OJLL, that was our Ontario league. And I think there's 16 teams or something like that. And then there was Alberta, Saskatchewan, British Columbia. I think that was all who was there this year. But every province, or I guess every league that's in it, can take one, like their one team, and that's like their champion team. Unless it's the province that's hosting, then you get two teams.
Okay.
But Alberta hosted this year, so there was the four teams out there. Yeah, it was a pretty awesome time out there.
Yeah. And then it's just a single elimination tournament?
It was kind of weird how it was set up, but it was so four teams, each team played in a round robin. Okay. And then the first place team got a bye to the finals, and then number two and number three played against each other in a semifinal and then went on to a two game or best of three finals.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Well, congrats on that.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
What do you get? You get a belt, you get a ring, you get a plaque.
We actually have our ring ceremony and banquet just after Christmas. So we got rings. We're getting like high school Letterman leather jacket.
Yeah, let's go. All right.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Cool. Well, congratulations on that. Let's see here. What else should we talk about? Then you get drafted by the Wings. Yeah. Second round, 38th overall, 2022. Talk to me about that feeling.
Yeah, it was incredible. Like it was, I played for Canada with the World Juniors in Winnipeg, the summer, like during the summer. And I entered the draft and everything was great. A bunch of guys on my team entered the draft. And it was incredible. Like it was kind of, okay, I'm here now. Like this is my dream to make it here. And then I went to the draft. Luckily it was in Toronto, and it was the most surreal kind of crazy feeling. I had my parents with me and my sister. Everyone kind of came to the draft, and whenever you could hear them call your name, it was pretty incredible. It was kind of like everything starting to line up, especially like I've dreamed about it for so long. But and going to Philly as well, like a lot of guys from Peterborough are on the Wings, so I kind of already knew people there, and it was a pretty crazy feeling.
Love it. Well, congrats. Yeah, congrats. I was going to ask. So we talked a little bit about already. You know what you learned. Once you get there, but I mean, I don't know. Does your game change dramatically, or just kind of little minor things that you're tweaking now?
Yeah, well, a little bit of both. It was kind of and that's what I said about like learning from Higgy in Philly and learning different styles and just kind of how to take this shot and seeing those top caliber shots. It was a kind of rude awakening whenever I thought I was doing pretty well and then they were lighting me up left and right. So you kind of adjust things off the fly, like on the fly and just kind of on and off the floor. But yeah, it's just it's little things where okay, I want to stand here, I want to stand back a little bit, I gotta exaggerate my shoulders a little bit more, I gotta move a little bit more, kind of close up my five. Well, just little things like that where you gotta adjust it. But in the kind of broad spectrum of things, that's a lot to change. But it does help quite a bit, especially whenever you get to those higher caliber shots.
Yeah. And so we're recording this December 6th. You guys, the NLL season's underway. Yeah. I think you guys just had week one last week. How does it work? Is it like the PLL where like the guys all got jobs and maybe you get together Friday and have a practice and then play on Saturday and then they all go back to their respective cities? Is it like that?
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot where, it's every weekend where we'll fly in. If it's a Saturday game, we'll fly in Friday, have a practice Friday, have a morning shoot around, and then right into the game, and then just kind of have dinner after, and then we'll fly home the next day, or if it's relatively close, then we'll drive home. But yeah, it's pretty similar like that.
Got it. Cool. In Philadelphia, you play with one of the best field goalies in the world, Blaze. And he plays like he doesn't play goalie. Do you ever tell him, "Hey, Blaze, you got to strap on the pads and give it a run"?
Oh yeah, it's been kind of a renowning joke here and there. Where we're like, "All right, yeah, Blazer, just suit up. Let us shoot on you and see how different it is." Yeah. And yeah, it's kind of just like a little joke, but yeah, I'm sure you do pretty well in the box as well.
always a tremendous athlete. And just, being comfortable if someone ripping, 90 mile an hour shot at you, like, go, that's like 90% of the battle right there.
yeah, for sure. Yeah. And now you got gear on, so you don't have to worry about getting hit.
Exactly. No, yeah. Probably a lot less, flinching.
Yeah.
I remember after I played my first box game, I was drenched, like so sweat, like exhausted. So, 'cause you have all that gear on and like, you think like, well, you're a goalie, you're not moving that much, but like the gear gets heavy and you get sweaty. Do you do a lot of like conditioning work?
Yeah, it's, well, and especially it's really nice being in Philly where, our trainer and all of our fitness guys and everyone's in really great shape. So it's nice that we have like training regimens with conditioning, with weightlifting, a whole bunch of stuff, but it's a lot of just, you sweat a lot. So stay hydrated and just kind of try and weather the storm as it comes. But yeah, conditioning is huge, especially whenever you're in your equipment and you're on the floor where you're taking those steps, like the angles and just everything like that, where you're constantly working. And some things can be a leg burner, but especially in practice, like you get drills that'll gas you. Yeah. But yeah, for sure. It's a lot of conditioning as well.
Love it. Well, Deacon, thank you so much for coming on, sharing kind of your experience, your story. Wish you luck in this season and, in the future. A question on the gear. Do all the box goalies pretty much wear the same gear, like pads wise, or is there preferences?
Yeah. So, like there's different things with, like helmets with gloves, sticks and stuff like that. It's a lot of preference that way, but like the main gear, like our legs, our pants, our shoulders, they're all made by Bodum. Yep. And, everyone gets the same gear. Like every year it's provided by the league. Okay. You get measured and you get sized and like a whole bunch of different things that go through it. But your dogs are going crazy. But but yeah, it's a lot of everyone kind of wears the generally same stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha. I heard that they are making a push to make box goalies pads smaller. Have you heard
anything? Yeah, like in the previous years, NLL gear is a little bit smaller than stuff that you'd say go buy at a store, but it's a lot of just this measurements wise, like weight, your shoulders, your hips, like just kind of stuff like that. But yeah, it's more or less, it's like they want your equipment to fit you properly, where you're not just throwing on, like you're not a 150 pound guy throwing on quadruple XL stuff. It's just, they want you to be in the right category.
Yeah. Is there a good spot to get cheap gear?
There's a lot of places around here because we're well over in the hot spot, which is kind of nice. It's kind of harder, especially to find down in the States. I did play a little bit of winter box down there and, you see a little less than back home for sure. It's kind of, well, even for me, I had to get a couple new pairs of pads this year for summer league. And, it was getting harder and harder to find.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one question I don't really know anything about. I mean, there's a box lacrosse goalie Facebook group that I see some people. So I see some people from time to time, doing, selling used gear. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but the rinks that you go and play at, like sometimes they have like an extra set. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like, it's kind of nice because now they're getting more and more lacrosse rinks, not just hockey rinks where they have ice in all year round. And then they throw the turf on or take the ice out, where it's more just a lacrosse rink where they'll have maybe an extra set here and there, or they'll have a store in there that'll have used stuff or new stuff, which is kind of nice that they're getting more and more of that now.
Love it. All right, Deacon, that was awesome. If you had to leave the goalies out there with the final piece of advice, what would that be?
Keep going. Just keep going. It'll, sometimes it'll get discouraging. There'll be hills and valleys, but yeah, just keep at it.
All right. We'll leave it right there. Deacon, thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Yep, have a good one.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that episode. It was NLL goalie Deacon Knott sharing his experience, sharing his tips, sharing his knowledge with all the field lacrosse goalies. I know there's a bunch of box lacrosse goalies who probably listen to this show as well, but I'm going to say the majority are field lacrosse goalies or maybe hybrids. Maybe you do both. But either way, hopefully you learned a bunch from Deacon. It's going to be awesome to watch him play. I think he's backing up right now for the Philadelphia Wings, but still one of the premier indoor goalies of our time. And if you want to get some indoor lacrosse goalie training, I want to let you know and give you a personal invite to a little project I did with Brett Dobson, the amazing Georgia Swarm goalie. Of course, you may know him from the Archers in the outdoor game, but he's also a super legit indoor box goalie, a first-round draft pick by the Swarm. And we put together some box lacrosse goalie training, and it blew me away what he did. He went out to the field or the rink and recorded just all of these videos, everything that you need to know to be a great box lacrosse goalie, gear, training, drills, positioning, and they break down saves. It is awesome, awesome training. So if you want to get that training, if you want to join, you're going to head over to laxgoalierat.com/box, B-O-X, laxgoalierat.com/box. One more time, laxgoalierat.com/box. And you can join the training, get instant access to all those amazing videos. In the meantime, get out there, get some work in, do well and be well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.